Jesus is at the center of our lives. Yeah, Jesus, God, is at center. Our theme today is a family feast. As you know, we are feasting at Christmas on this incredible reality of God being with us. God coming here, incarnated, and being at the center of our life, a family. So I'm introducing the thought just so we can be prepared for what we want to hear today. A family, let's think of a few. The main theme is Luke. Turn with me to Luke, and I want you to notice something in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 39, Mary visits Elizabeth, and then we have Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias. This is a family, three people, and extended family. Let's think about it for a few minutes. Where in the Bible do you see family for the first time? Adam and Eve in the garden. In the time of Noah, who was on the ship? But his family, yeah, his three sons and their wives. When Joseph was sold by his brothers down in deep, Pastor White, good to see you. Wow, great to have you here. When the boys, Jacob's sons, when they sold their brother and the brother went down into Egypt, was it really a family, the father and the sons? And Jacob, I want you to notice a verse. The first time of that, I noticed it, Genesis 45. I think it's in the King James. It didn't come across that clear, but in this new King James, I've got it here. 45, verse 24. Lord, we pray you would minister to us this morning regarding family, what it means that we have a family feast. Oh, there's so much from the devil against the family. There's so much to destroy what you've ordained and what it means. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph said to his brothers here in Genesis 45, 24, he sent his brothers away and they departed and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Yeah, it says in the King James, see that you fall not out by the way. It's not clear to me. But he's saying, when you go back, don't be fighting with each other. He said, don't be troubled when you go back along the way. Do not be troubled along the way. Joseph said that to his brothers. When you go back to tell Dad, because now they know who Joseph is, and he's saying to his brothers, when you go back and tell Dad I'm alive and who I am and I am here, then go back and don't be troubled. I don't worry about it. I have forgiven you. It's all good. God is with us. God is with us. A family, you know, Noah's family, Lois and Eunice and Timothy. Timothy was a man of God who learned the scripture from his youth, and his grandmother, Lois, taught it to him. A family, you know. This is a great theme. In the family, I'll just put down here a couple of words, authority. Authority, which is for the humble, a very good word. Authority. You look for authority. You want authority. It's a blessing. But to the proud, they don't like the word. They're proud, rebels against authority. They kick against it. They resent it, and so on. You know, that's in a family, there is authority. Then I want to put down here this word, tongue, our words in a family. And then we put down this word, judging, and I'll put here, / mercy. It's very easy in a family to judge. It's very easy in a family to have disharmony. It's very easy to be unhappy with each other. It's very easy to make an evaluation about your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your cousin, your uncle. It's a very common thing. Okay. But actually, Elizabeth, these three, Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, and by the way, Zechariah is not talking at this point. When Mary and Elizabeth, he is not talking. He can't talk. Remember in the story, he can't talk. So you have a family with the head of the family not talking. Oh, that sounds like that's cool. Dad's not talking. The guy in charge is not talking. But in the story, the Holy Spirit is talking, and he is talking through Elizabeth and Mary. And Zacharias is listening, and he's actually agreeing because he is about to open his mouth, and he does open his mouth. There is a feast. Now, in your earthly family, you might say, like all of us, we could say it isn't what it should be, or we have issues, or we have some problems or disappointments or something like this. This is also very normal. But this is also designed of God so that we would seek God as our Heavenly Father, and our Father would give us these three things that ordained of him so that we would have a feast. We would have a spiritual feast in our family. Now, this is what we have today. This is God's family. God's family is important to us because from that family comes all kinds of good things. We'll look at it today in the message. So, thanks for your love and your prayers, and may the Lord bless our thoughts today. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. One of our very precious body members, Miriam Kallenbeck, passed away yesterday about noontime. Yeah, it was God, I believe. It was God that took her. And a couple of weeks ago, she was over here, and I got the feeling, like when I was with her just for a minute, you know, I was thinking, boy, like her husband is passed, and Pastor Lou, and here she is, you know, with us, and I don't know, she wants to go, I think, you know. That's just like subjective sense today. And it happened, she passed. But she was doing well. Her son Lou told me at 10 o'clock in the morning that she was in hospitalized for COVID at Good Sam, and she was doing a lot better. Her numbers were better. She was on the phone with friends. And then at noon, we got the news that she, at 2 o'clock, I got the news that she had passed at noon. Oh, wow, what a saint, huh? An era, that couple. And she's with Jesus and her husband and so many others. It's our loss, but what about us? Our days are numbered in Psalm 90, but we're enjoying life. We're really enjoying life as we live here on the earth in this incredible world that's so hard to understand. But even as we don't understand so many, many things, we have a family. So this is Mark 3, verse 31. Then came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. So he's surrounded by a group of people, and outside the circle is his family. They send for him, like we want to talk to him. Verse 32. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, your mother, your brethren without seek for you. That would be easily understood in the ancient world. Very strong family unit, very easily understood. You respect your family, you respect your mother, your brothers, your sisters, and they're calling for you. So it's automatic. You respond, of course, automatically, with respect and care. That's how it was and is today and should be, of course. But he said, he used the opportunity to say something deeper that many of us have felt for decades and live in it, and that life and real connection with people is not flesh and blood, but it is spiritual. It's when you know what I know from the Spirit of God that makes us a family. You know God as Father. He knows God as Father. We are sisters and brothers. And it's deep. It's spiritual. The spiritual life, people they underestimate it, take it or leave it. They have no idea how low the thinking is in the hearts of men. How would I mean low? How inferior, how vain, how empty, how shallow the thoughts of men are. How wrong we can be. How shallow we can be. How empty we can be individually. But when Jesus comes into your life, you are not worshiping an empty idol. You are worshiping the living God. When Jesus comes into your life, you are filled. You are rich. You are learning. You are growing. Yeah. Wow, Richard's here this morning. This is my buddy, Richard. We got to get him a new thing. What's it called? We oil the wheels. We got to give him a new one for Christmas. Richard, give him a hand. We love that guy. He's amazing. Hartford Road. Richard, Hartford Road, not far from Steve and Nancy. You know his store? North Hartford and Northern Parkway. Lawnmowers. Reha Lawnmowers. Yeah, he owns that. He's the guy. And he ran for city councilman. No, mayor. He ran for mayor, yeah. Okay, let's go on here. Chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 33. He answered, Who is my mother? were my brethren. And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother, my brethren. That's an incredible thing, to be in the midst of a group of Russians in St. Petersburg, Russia, 1991, be in the midst of a group of Turkish people, be in Uzbekistan, and say, my brothers, my sisters. It's amazing to be as close to them, very close to the Chinese, the Chinese believers, the Chinese people. These are my brothers and my sisters. It's amazing. And I think you know that very well. So verse 35, whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, please. Bear with me. It sounds like I'm only just talking. I am. I'd love to be preaching. I would love to be preaching, but I can't unless God does that. Amen? I guess I can. I can push it. I guess I can. I can. I've been doing it long enough. But I don't want to. I want the Holy Spirit to do it. Amen? He ministered to us. So his way. So Mark, Jeremiah chapter 10, we have idols and we have a very low, incredibly crazy teaching here. Mark, Jeremiah 10, verses 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. How about astrology? Anybody doing that? Signs and all that. It's like, don't do any of that. What do you need that for? That's foolishness. You go to somebody who reads, a psychic reader or something, they tell you something, you base your whole life on something they tell you. You're going to die young. That's what they told you. You're going to die long. You want to believe lies? Embrace error? Be led by demons? Or are you going to live before the living God? What do you think? I want the living God. God will decide for me. You can't tell me when I will die. Yeah, but it happened the way she said it. I could care less. I have no interest in lies and liars and evil and demons. So this is the meaning here. Verse 2. Verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain. One cuts a tree out of the forest to work in the hands of the workmen with the axe. By the way, the caroling this year has been fantastic. I think 30 people the other night in Parkville, Pastor Jason told me, literally people were in tears at the door calling their neighbors to tell their neighbors to get these people to sing down their street. And then Bammerschmidt, they had a group over there of 15. The choir was out on the street with the Shishmanians, and I just heard good things. Thank you, Lord. Now, they deck it with silver and gold, verse 4. They fasten it with nails and hammers that it moves not. It might fall over. Your God might fall over, so you better hammer it down. Huh? The theory of evolution. Yeah, it might fall over. We better hammer it down. Make sure nobody says anything outside of those ideas. It might fall over. What if my God falls over? That's not a good sign. Well, what do we say? Jesus, come on in and throw it over and turn over the tables and talk to us and reveal yourself to us as a living God. For how will you prosper if you don't have a living God? And in a family, How can the family prosper without the living God? And by the way, many families, they do embrace empty and vain and low things. We'll read it, maybe, I hope so. They embrace vain and low things, like money. Like money. Money is useful, but don't make money your God. Or any other of these low things. The Holy Spirit was in Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias, and this was a family feast that exalted them above their poverty, because Mary was a poor peasant woman, lowly. She says it in her song. It's in Elizabeth. They were poor people. Hey, because I'm a poor person, the rich discredit me. But God doesn't discredit me. The arrogant walk all over me. But God doesn't walk all over me. And actually, he puts down the rich and he exalts the lowly. This is the Holy Spirit teaching us the words that Christ said. This is my family. They hear the word and they do it because there is authority in God's family. This is the first thing. Let's put it this way. Let's do two. This is the low thoughts of man, and this becomes potentially very weird, by the way. This is a family that is struggling in a way from, in a sense, it's struggling like we all actually do. We struggle different ways, depends. And I don't want to say, I want you just to follow me with a deeper thought here. And that is, when you are born again, you're brought into a family. And this family, like Mordecai and Esther, I think that's a good example of a family. That's her uncle, Mordecai and Esther. And this family, they were serious. They were serious. They followed God. They were looking for God in life. And another family, or even a church could have also. Jack Hiles preached a message. He had his deacons. And he was very disappointed because for 50 minutes they were talking about where to put the flags in their, we don't have any, I guess, where to put the flags in the church. The deacons, he said, he was so angry about it. This is Jack Kyles, you know, the Baptist preacher. Dr. Stevens would refer to sometimes, and he would say, you know, he just got very angry and told him to shut up. That's what he did. He just said, shut up. You people. A church is to have a feast, and a family is to have a feast. Maybe not all the time. Of course not. We know that. But behind, in our trouble, there needs to be this authority that is ordained of God for us. And by the way, our founding fathers, I've got a quote from Ronald Reagan. I even have a piece from Ted Kennedy, who, you know, years ago in the 1980s, I think he gave a great speech about the family, the value. He said, old, worn out thoughts. How was it? Should I find it? Okay. Better take a nap while I'm doing it. That's the wrong thing to tell you right now. Okay, I just found it. He said, the commitment I seek is not to outworn values, but to old values which will never wear out. I make a commitment not to outworn values, but to old values. What old values are there that'll never wear out? We have thrown them away. Responsibility, humility, trust, fear of God, godliness, righteousness. If a family throws those values out because we are modern or whatever the word is, or we are this whole crazy thing, it's like the thoughts are so low. It's a new paganism. But the blessing of the believer is that our thoughts are high, and the authority of those thoughts, there's authority in those thoughts, truth, and the truth will set you free. And when Mordecai and his niece Esther were in Persia in that crisis, Mordecai had the thoughts from God. He said, Esther, I think you have to go before the king. Oh, no, if I go, I could be killed. Well, that's where we're at. That's what's going on. It's your call, but you're not going to escape. It's a family. A family. It's something that God has ordained for us. That we need somebody who has a voice. Isn't that what a pastor is in a church? He's somebody that somehow you have some kind of trust that he's representing God and helping me in my faith, helping me think, helping me be submitted to God, helping me understand that this is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. It's God has visited us, and God has a plan for each and every one of us, and nobody's excluded from it. We are in his family. If we hear his voice, if we embrace his teaching, embrace his doctrine, then we have words for every situation in life. We have a doctrine for our peace, our rest, grace. We have a doctrine for authority, doctrine for using money, my job, doctrines for raising children, instructing people, being kind, evangelizing, doctrines for prayer, doctrines for perseverance, for zeal, doctrines for submission and humility. There's incredible teaching that comes from our Heavenly Father through the Bible. Imagine, look at the Bible. Imagine all the words that we have for this. Okay, so we have that the next part is the story of Elizabeth and Mary. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. This is very long with three speakers. We have Mary, then we have Elizabeth, and then we have Zacharias, who does start to talk later on. He has a prophecy. God opens his mouth when John the Baptist is 8 days old and named. When he's named John, Zacharias writes on the tablet, his name is John. Then his mouth opens. Why was his mouth closed? Anybody know why? The angel said that your wife is going to have a child, and he said, what's the proof of that? Bingo, wrong question. You're not going to talk through the pregnancy. You know, nope, not until the baby's born and he's named, and then he wasn't told that, but that's what happened. He couldn't talk. So it appears that his unbelief resulted in him not talking. I believe that happens to us too. When I stop believing, I stop having a message. I have no message. I could talk about football and about steaks and grills and I get vitamins and health clubs. I could talk about God and the Bible, but I don't have a voice. There's no authority because of unbelief. So you are people that are increasing in your faith. You go from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. We are people that are listening and increasing in our understanding. Though we are limited, however, we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. And by the Spirit of God, we have a message. So in his silence, the ladies are anointed of God. This is Elizabeth and Mary. They are anointed of God, and they are saying, and I listed in this section, 34 things that they are saying in their speeches. And we'll look at some of it. So would turn with me to Luke 1 in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. We said last week she went quickly because if her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant, and so visibly she didn't know this, but she was told she was in her 6 month, wasn't it? Yeah, in her 6 month, so that then she could see that she's pregnant. That would be the evidence that the Gabriel had given her the message that she is carrying the Son of God in her womb. So she quickly goes down to the hill country, entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is a family feast. What kind is it? Internally, there's a response. It's in your spirit. It's in your heart. It's sometimes very gentle. It's sometimes without anybody seeing it, but it's inside you. It's the presence of God in our midst. It's a family feast with God as our Father. And we are now being brought into something beyond space and time, beyond ourselves. God is telling us things. God is revealing secrets to us, things that other people don't know about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man cannot discern it, neither does he know it. I like this picture that we've drawn in the past at Christmas time. Here is Jesus, and here's how you see him. But then this is who he really is, and even more. But the world sees him this way, and that continues today. They see him that way. But you have to look again. You have to be humble before God and hungry. And this is what the ladies are saying. Elizabeth and Mary are talking about humility and hunger and God's mercy and his faithfulness. And let's bring that into our earthly family as much as possible. And do it with our wives and our spouses, our husbands and wives and our children and our grandchildren. And remember that many times the people that are with us have a limited understanding. But the Lord wants to bring, we need authority to go beyond. This is a good word. We need God to bring it. I can't get it. unless it is given to me. You cannot get it unless it is given to you. It's to whom he will give it. Matthew 11:27. He wants to give your son something. He wants to give your son a blessing. Just a little tip, maybe as a dad or as a mom, when you look at your child and pray for them and you can share with them and say, you know, you're not saying, thus saith the Lord. But you could say to them, I want you to know that I am believing that there's something more for you than what you can see. I believe God wants to use you. I believe God wants to use you. You see that? You see what you're doing? It's like Elizabeth and Mary are like seeing and they're talking. And Zacharias is silent, but he's listening. He's there, but he can't talk. But he's listening, and he's part of it. And there's something happening in their communication with this amazing kind of... There's a loud voice. One of them shouts out with a loud voice. It's written here as well. So let's go to the text. Verse 42, yeah. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. So she had internal leaping of the baby. She was filled with the Spirit, and now comes that loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. We said last night, she's the one pregnant, last week, she's the one pregnant. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. But she saw Mary is actually pregnant. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Verse 43. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Mary, it's going to be fulfilled. You are the mother of my Lord. You are pregnant. This is making me filled with joy and a loud voice. And there it is. It's beautiful. Let's say the second word. We have authority and we have the tongue in the family, the wise tongue, the silver tongue, the edifying tongue, the silent tongue, the tongue of encouragement, edification, the tongue of praise, the tongue that sings, the tongue that's looking for words like we find in the Bible, words of life. Joseph said to his brothers, now when you go back to father, go back to the promised land, when you go back to Canaan, be sure that you are talking, don't trouble each other. Be sure you are talking in a good way with each other, because I am alive and we have food. And bring father here, that I could see him. You see the story. The tongue. The tongue is powerful, isn't it? The tongue, the value of a tongue in the family feast. This is like our meetings. We have this respect for the word, respect for the Lord. We have a tongue of love, a tongue of encouragement, and a tongue of wisdom. We are not slandering. We had a new brother come here, and he was totally unsaved from a rough part of town. And he said, tell me, what should I do here? I don't know how to behave here. You know, I don't know these people. I don't know how to behave, he said. I go, like, give me an example. I don't know what you mean. He goes, well, can I swear? I said, no, that's a very good point. Like, don't swear. when you're around these people, do not swear. You know, no, we don't swear. Like out in the parking lot, don't be swearing. Or in here, don't swear, okay? Isn't that a cute story? And he's humble about it, too. And he's doing very well. He's been here for a few years. And I hope that in that area, he has, you know, picked up his game. The tongue. Tongue of praise. Tongue of wisdom. The tongue. Powerful in our family, our spiritual family. There's something about this new life that I want to put down a couple words, responsibility. Do you know Mordecai and Esther, if you know the story? It's like, Esther, you have to go before the king. I don't want to go. You have to go. And this is my dramatizing the story. You have to go. I don't want to go. You got to go. You need to be responsible. You got to show up. You got to take a risk. You got to go out on the ledge. You got to go out on a limb. You got to take a risk. You might die, but we need you. You're the only hope. You're the one. By the way, if you don't do it, God will raise up somebody else. But why not go for it? You know, this is what happened. Family. Now I have my Ronald Reagan quote here, which I really... Yeah, Ronald Reagan has eloquently defined his mission as president as one of building a new consensus with all those across the land who share a community of values embedded in these words, family, work, neighborhood, peace, and freedom. Yes, I love it when a president is saying that we have to be responsible. We have to do our job. We have to love our neighbor. We have to be kind to each other. I don't like the negative thing, you know. You know, you are a racist, or you are a bigot, or you are... It's like, that doesn't help me. It doesn't help me. I mean, you can say those things, but is that really what is needed? What about a changed heart? What about finding God where God is not any of those things? What about worshiping the Almighty God and taking responsibility for my life? What about loving my neighbor because God said to? What about forgiving people? And what about loving my enemy? What about forgiveness? These are great values that are needed. And if in a family they are not learning it in a family, where will they learn it? Will they learn it in a public school? Doesn't look like it. I hope so. Where will they learn it? Will they learn it in a church? Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. There has to be doctrine and something beyond us that would motivate a teenager. A teenager said to me the other day, who never talks to me, I think it's the first time I ever heard him. He's been here for some years. And he said, great message. And walked by. And I think he didn't want anybody to see him say it. Great message. And then he walks by. You know, what does it mean? A teenager that finds words and thoughts that encourage him and lead him, and he has new tongue now, or he has an interest, you know, maybe I could be a teacher. Maybe I could share the message. Maybe I am in the family. Yes, you are in the family. Yes, you are in the family. Zacharias is quiet and he's sitting over there and he's in the family. God has brought him in. God has brought him into the family. This is a point here. Okay, go to the last part here. Luke 1. We'll only do this part, verse Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." Now, I would like to say something about poverty and put down our third word here. Judge, it's a general word, judging and mercy. You are poor. Are you judged for being poor? Yes, it might be you are. People look down on you. Are you poor? Yes, there are people that are very poor in this world. We are very blessed, in all of us here. We are very blessed in many ways. This woman is very poor. Mary is very poor, from what we understand. She was very low, very low. But what did God do to her? She didn't care about it. If she only understood that God had visited her, and he didn't care. God cared. He cared in the sense, not like people. He is God. Look at the verse with me. It's verse 48. "He's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." If that is in our family, we are so honored. We are so blessed by this. And I feel this is the case. He has done great things for us. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. I do not call the proud happy. That's Malachi 3:10. There are people that call the proud happy. The proud are not. The proud. What do you mean proud? I think it's all over in our media and Hollywood and money and power and everything and the pride of man. It's everywhere. I don't care about it. I don't know about you. The Holy Spirit has helped me. I could care less. I have no interest in any of that. There are people drawn to it. They love to be accepted. It's very important to them what circle of people they are with. They're in this circle of people, you know, and they name drop, and I know this and that person called, and this whole thing. It's like Mary is saying, "Oh, this feast, this is it. I feel I am at the center of the universe because God is with us in our family. I feel we in Baltimore, right here in this place, I feel we are right on, that the Lord is with us and he is caring and he is carrying us. And he is speaking to us and preparing us to meet God. What could be greater in life? That our Heavenly Father would be preparing us to meet God and to live for an eternal purpose and to learn to share our message with people in evangelism, to share, open our mouths, to share the message, to prophesy, to share, to engage, to teach, to love, to listen, and care about it." Okay, finishing. Luke 1 in verse 52. "He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things." There's another thing about a family. You are hungry, and there's hunger. I wonder what kind of hunger. Physical hunger because of poverty, spiritual hunger because of brokenness, and he has filled us with good things. Filled us with good things. When you look back on your life, sometimes the best times were the worst times. The worst times brought me to God and to brokenness and on my knees and waiting on him and needing him. long periods of time of waiting on God and looking for God and breaking us and leading us and believing He's a God of mercy. Maybe those are the best times. We have many of them. Many times on the mission field, I remember being with so little. We're so little, like we shared one time in our family when we were in Hungary our first year. We had raisins and pencils and a Hungarian comic book to give our kids for Christmas. And that was beautiful. And our kids talk about it today. We had some raisins, we had some pencils and paper and a Hungarian comic book as a gift to our kids. We were, maybe we wouldn't say we were poor, but we could say we didn't have maybe what we would have had. But it didn't matter because we were on a mission and we're in a work and the Lord is in our family and there's authority from Him. There are those great words, responsibility. There is humility and the tongue. And the tongue. And then comes like, we are not judging. We are people of mercy. We're not judging other people. We are thankful for what we have, and we are giving out mercy. We have found new values. And here's a good thing for people raising families. Your children are learning your values, not only behavior. Because behavior is, you know, put your shoes over there when you come into the house. Or be sure to do your homework, sit at your table, sit up straight, and behave. And those behaviors which are part of their training. And there is something more. How much does God do God? How much do mom and dad really believe God? How much do mom and dad actually believe in what they're talking about? How much are mom and dad in the church? Why do they go to that church? Why do we go to Sunday school? Why are we doing what we are doing? This is all part of our family. And they are learning it. And so that's how I'm thinking about this. Now I really am finishing. You guys are very patient, and praise the Lord. He's put down the mighty, exalted the lowly, He's filled the hungry, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I'll give you for a little assignment. For your job is to read about Zacharias and what he says from verse 67 down to the end, if you want to find that list of 34 things that I found in this text for a family feast. Zacharias opens his mouth, and there it is. And I just say that this parallels our church life. It parallels our family life by His grace so that we can be salt to the nation. We can have a mission. We can live long on the earth. By the way, Get's dad passed away too this past week. He's 100 years old. He was 100 years old. I was total surprised. I think he passed away also. We are the walking dead. We are people that are alive, but keep your eye on the ball. We are alive, and there's no way out of here except the grave. Keep your eye on the cross of Jesus and what God has to say to you, and have a ministry to the people that are around us that need to touch the reality of God in a family. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, our country needs help, but we can't give them much without you. But we have the family of God, and we have your authority with us. We have your tongue, and we have an understanding of things. You're helping us. Help us to help others and draw them in to the family. Please, that they would be born again into the family and adopted sons. Please save souls in our community. So we're doing everything we can. I believe that. I think that in me. We're not everything we can, but a lot. We are making the effort in our communities because they are hurting. We ask you in your name, in Jesus' name, to do this work. We pray. And anyone listening, not a believer in Jesus, it's your decision. It's a big decision. It's a huge decision. It's the most important decision of your life. You must make a decision. You must say yes to him. You must believe in him and trust in him. And you are born of God. Walk with him by faith. He will show you. He will teach you. He will love you. He will help you. He will answer you. He will forgive you. In Jesus' name, amen.